Rural Focus.
Hello there to you. It is Troy Stockton aboard with another Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app. On the way for you very soon from Nutrient Livestock, we'll find out and see how last week's Mount Barker cattle sale went. The one and only, the great man, Harry Carroll, to join us on the show today. Big week for volunteers right across Australia because it's, well, Volunteer Week for 2022. We're going to catch up with the CEO here in WA. Tina Williams is going to join us. But something that has come out since last Thursday's WA state budget here is that WA farmers are now joining the fight against royalty slug on the potash players. Not great. I think it's something like around a 5% royalty. Not great news indeed. To speak more on this, hello there to Stu McKenzie.
Good morning, Troy. Good morning, listeners. How are we all today?
Not bad. How's the week been?
Oh, pretty good. Nice and nice, relaxing weekend of hockey and spending some time with the family.
Nice. Is it potash or potash? Whichever.
It's potash.
Oh, there you go. Potash. Well, potash. The potash players, well, they've been outraged over the weekend, mate, because it looks like, over higher than expected royalties now.
5% is what McGowan has chucked in the state budget. So, you know, this is ridiculous. We've got a fledgling industry here in WA, which is unique to WA, and all of a sudden he's gone this massive 5% slug on it.
Right. So,
This is ridiculous. 5% is up there with what he's charging a lot of the fledgling minerals.
Yeah.
I think he's just gone, oh, well, if it's good for them, it's good for these guys, and we'll just have a flat rate of 5%. Well, that 5% is almost enough to stop the exploration and to stop the mining of this stuff. Once again, this is a Labor government, and particularly our state Labor government, just being anti-ag. You know, you've got this 5% royalty being slugged into potash. You've got live export, which is going to be canned if they get in at a federal level. Mm. On the sheep side, there's an article in the Countryman over the weekend about the Northern Pastoralists Association querying whether the cattle live export's going to go. So if one goes, the other's going to go, and now you've got this. So I think it's about time that at state level and at federal level, they understood where all the money's coming from. It's not just out of mines. Agriculture is the largest employer in the country. And the more taxes that they put on, and the more, the harder they make it for our growers and industry to move product to port, whether that be commodity in grains or canolas or livestock,
yep,
the harder it's going to be for our industry to be sustainable. So, I mean, come on, McGowan, pull your head in, mate.
Also, see where there's calls for the Tier 3 railway lines to be opened up and get going, mate?
Well, this is a no-brainer, isn't it?
Well, you would have thought so after the state government came out a couple of weeks ago saying we're putting money here left, right and centre.
You know, $159 million or $1 billion
something
or whatever
like that, close
it was.
To. Yeah, it was just over.
To fix up 9,000 kilometres of road, which is fantastic. The quality of our roads is poor anyway, and there was another two truck rollovers last week. One up near Quarity, just out between Northern and Beverley, and then another one on South Coast Highway last week. And a lot of this is due to the condition of the shoulders of the road. So the sooner we get our grain and our commodities being moved on rail, the better we're all going to be. Now, this is no fault of the driver, no fault of other traffic, because these trucks are falling over because the dog trailer or the second or third trailer is hitting the shoulder. Now, one idiot turned around and said, oh, well, maybe we should go back to putting single trailers only on trucks. Serious, mate? So, you know, I think we've got to have a serious look at opening up these Tier 3 lines sooner rather than later. You know, they're expecting a larger than above average harvest in the Northern Hemisphere, which is going to make it even harder for Australian grain growers to move grain around. That's due to access to ships. You know, we went for a drive around Albany about 4:30, quarter to five last night, and there's five or six ships sitting out in the harbour, and they're all fertiliser boats, wood chip boats, grain. So, look, the sooner we open the Tier 2, Tier 3 rail system, it's going to ease pressure on our roads. It's going to reduce truck movements on the roads. There's still going to be plenty of truck movements, don't get me wrong, but we need to do something to help move the bumper crop from 2021, because 2022 is already shaping up to be pretty damn good.
And if, say, the state government and, say, CBH have given up on Tier 3, I wouldn't know why they would both give up on Tier 3 after the big money that's going to be thrown out. Farmers certainly deserve to know yesterday, don't they?
Well, look, this is one of those things. This is the left hand not talking to the right hand. And, you know, when you've got industry bodies like WA Farmers and the PGA and everybody else asking the question, why aren't we doing this? Yeah. Oh, well, here's the money for it. Well, it's one thing to say here's the money, but it's another thing to actually put the motion into action. Because actions at the end of the day speak way louder than words. And, you know, the line from Albany to Perth and, you know, Lake Grace into Perth and all the rest of it, these lines, the infrastructure is already there.
Yeah.
If they need to spend time and money on fixing railway sleepers and straightening line out or do whatever they need to do, let's stop talking about it. Let's just get on with it, because coming into 2022, we're looking down the barrel of another bumper harvest. Where the hell are we going to move all this grain from?
Ramping ambos around has now kicked off in regional areas, unfortunately, mate.
Yeah, so look, and I was talking to a mate of mine, Carl Muller, who he's the operations manager for St John Ambulance here in Albany, and he was saying that it's starting to become a little bit of an issue down here, but in Perth, 20% of their ambulance fleet is off the road, and that's due to either paid staff or volunteers. Now, a lot of those volunteer ambulance drivers are coming down as COVID close contacts or whatever, so, you know, the whole industry is suffering. But I guess the one big thing that Carl would like to say is a big thank you to all the volunteers who have stuck by St John's, not only in Perth, but particularly in regional WA. Through this whole pandemic, St John Ambulance have done incredibly well in maintaining their volunteer fleet. And people on the ground who have actually been either in call rooms taking calls or in ambulances picking people up and carting people around and even just the volunteer maintenance people. So Carl would just like to say, you know, a big thank you to everyone in the Great Southern who has pitched in and helped out. And, you know, there's some smaller towns like Coginup, they went without an ambulance for a couple of days, but at the end of the day, they've managed to find some volunteers to go and sort that out. You know, there's a few really big things happening. But unfortunately, until they sort their rubbish out in Perth, this stuff does start to filter down through the rest of WA.
Yeah, certainly. And well done to all the ambulance volunteers, which makes sense because, well, today is, day one of National Volunteer Week this week.
Yeah, and look, there is a sundowner for Albury volunteers tonight at Retrovision Stadium from 6:30 to 8. For those who, you can get a hold of the Albany volunteer mob on Facebook.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's a sundowner with a couple of awards being done tonight here in Albany. So
all right.
That's quite good. So look, and myself and another guy from hockey are heading along, so it'll be a good night.
Yeah, all right. So, it's National Volunteer Week and... coming up soon too, we'll catch up with the CEO of Volunteering WA in Tina Williams. Big week for them. And of course, Wednesday is Wear Orange Wednesday. So if you're heading out and about, wear orange and help support our volunteers. They do a wonderful job. Mate, as always, nice to chat on a Monday. It's going to be an interesting chat next Monday, I reckon.
Bring on next Monday, I reckon, Troy. It's going to be an interesting one.
Enjoy your week, mate. We'll chat then.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks, listeners. Have a great one and stay safe.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Time right now for a Monday to catch up with Nutrient Livestock's very own Harry Carroll. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Troy. Good morning, listeners.
How did we go last week, mate?
Well, it was a smaller yarding, Troy, but we did yard 812. So smaller than the week before by 200 or 300, but... it was a good quality yarding of weaner steers and heifers right throughout, of all weights too. So it was a pretty good yarding right through. Cows, again, small numbers of those, Troy. Slaughter cattle, you know, odd sales only, which is pretty typical for this time of the year. Anyway, some quotations. 5 to 600 kilo steers, odd sales, as I mentioned, 370 to 390 cents a kilo. 4 to 500 kilo steers, 410 to 494 cents, would have averaged 480. Most of these purchased by feeders, no dearer by 10 cents in the previous market. Heavy boning room heifers, just were plainer in quality and type. Eased in value a bit at 372 to 430 cents a kilo. Now, weaner steers, as I mentioned earlier, over 330 kilos. These sold to local and eastern states feeders at 620 to 640 cents a kilo. 280 to 330 kilo weaner steers, 500 to 586 cents a kilo. And these were easier on our last market. Under 280 kilo, they sold to graziers at 600 to a top of 736 cents a kilo. Would have averaged 670 in a pretty mixed quality offering of those. Weaner heifers, over 330 kilos, 500 to 618 cents, would have averaged 540 for the day or thereabouts. 280 to 330 kilo weaner heifers, 470 to 586 cents a kilo, and they would have averaged 540 cents also. And those under 280 kilos, pretty mixed in quality and type here at 470 to 660, and that's why there's such a big spread in price there due to quality. Heavy prime cows, these sold to a top of 328 cents in a small market, a number of cattle cows offered, as I mentioned earlier, and heavy prime bulls, 300 to 310 cents a kilo, and there wasn't a big offering of those either. We're a day or two ahead of the rain, Troy.
Yeah.
You could just feel that that the market sort of held back a bit, waiting for a decent rain on some of these lighter cattle to go back to the paddock. But let me assure you, we've had a good rain since.
Yeah, I bet.
So it's been pretty good down here on the coast. Okay. Yeah,
mate, the smaller yardings, is that due to the season or with what's going on in abattoirs, or what's the reason?
Just it's what happens at this time of the year, and they will get smaller.
Okay.
They will get smaller and smaller. So, and that's not all bad.
No.
In as much as that indicates that we've got a season, the numbers have run out. You know, a lot of people have sold what they're going to sell for the financial year. And a lot of people have had a pretty good year financially, and they probably don't need to sell too many more before June 30 for some of them, I would suspect.
All right. Beautiful. All right. Another sale this Thursday, mate?
It is indeed. We've got sunny conditions here this morning. I'm not sure it'll be the same on Thursday.
Or in about an hour's time. But anyway. Are you out and about today, mate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Got a few jobs on to do today. Right. Catch up with a few people and touch base with a few things that are going on.
All right. Have a great week, mate. We'll chat to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot, Troy.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
All this week, big week, because it's National Volunteer Week. Yes, and we have the boss with us from Volunteering WA, CEO Tina Williams, has joined me. Tina, good morning there to you.
Good morning, Troy. How are you?
I'm going well. Another big week.
Oh, yes. Huge week this week, National Volunteer Week. It's a big week to celebrate all volunteers do and really recognise what a difference they make in our communities.
Certainly. Tina, how important has volunteering been, say, over the last year?
Oh, gosh. I think if you can ask anyone that question, I think everyone would actually, even if we sort of look at it over the last 3 years, say, because, you know, we had bushfires, didn't we? And then obviously the pandemic hit, and then in the middle of that, you know, we had a cyclone as well. I think everyone has seen volunteering in the news more than ever before, really, and also I think have a much more or bigger appreciation of the work that volunteers do in stepping up in emergencies, and then also in that recovery phase as well, you know, the important work they do. So, yes, I think they've stepped up, you know, over and above the normal contributions they make as well.
Yeah, certainly have. So all this week, National Volunteer Week. What actually is National Volunteer Week?
Well, it's a national recognition week, really all about volunteers. I think, you know, the most part, it's in Australia, it just gives us an opportunity to stop and really recognise, you know, the important work volunteers do, and, you know, how that work really enriches our lives and our communities. This week, Better Together, the theme, and it just really highlights how the toughest societal challenges can be met, you know, when the community comes together and supports one another, like they have done, you know, in some of those real emergencies that we mentioned before, and really the tangible difference that they make, you know, across our state in all the work that they do.
Yeah, certainly. And a big day Wednesday with Wear Orange Wednesday.
That's right. Wear Orange Wednesday is all about really supporting our SES and our emergency volunteers. And, you know, they obviously, they're the ones on the front line time and time again. Called out in the middle of the night, any weather, any crisis.
Yeah.
And they just keep turning up. You know, they do such a remarkable job. They truly do.
If somebody wants to become a volunteer here, Tina, what do they need to do?
Look, there's lots of ways. But I would suggest, you know, really just really looking around their own community. There's so many different roles as well, Troy, in our communities. But if you're starting from scratch and you really, really just want to have a look, hop onto our website. We've got a big search engine there. And at any one time, we've got over 2,500 positions.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's happened during COVID is that a lot of volunteering now can actually be done virtually as well. So, for example, in Narrogin now, if you were to go onto that website, there's pretty much 288 positions that you can look at. Yeah. And really, if you're looking to do those in person, then there's a few positions available in emergency services, so in with the fireys, and also the SES team in Narrogin as well as Silver Chain and organisations like that. But as I said, there's you know, hundreds more that you can actually do from your own home now, virtually through your computer. So,
Now, also, too, you're calling on all Aussies this week to do something.
Oh, look, I think that, the big wave for volunteers. Yeah. So, it's all about our communities recognising volunteers and the contributions that they make. So this year, again, we're doing our wave for volunteers and we're asking people to wave. Take a photo, take a selfie and pop it on their social media, hashtag Wave for Volunteers or hashtag NVW2022. And it's all about creating an awareness, you know, for the work that our volunteers do and promoting that amazing work as well. So, we'd love lots of people to get involved in that.
All right. So if people want to become a volunteer, where can they find out more information here, Tina?
If they hop on to volunteeringwa.org.au or even go to their local volunteering resource centre. On our website, we've got a whole list of resource centres and where they are and when they're open and their contact details as well. So, they can do that online or in person.
This week, as we said, it's National Volunteer Week. So, good luck to all of our volunteers. Tina Williams, CEO of Volunteering here in WA, thank you for your time today and good luck during the week.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Troy, and happy National Volunteer Week.
Yeah, big week for volunteers right around Australia. National Volunteer Week for 2022. And get on their social media pages, hashtag Better Together and hashtag Wave for Volunteers. We do have so many wonderful volunteers right across Australia doing wonderful things. So to all the volunteers, good luck. And on Wednesday here in WA, it's WOW Day, Wear Orange Wednesday. Get behind that if you can. I've been Troy Stockton, and I'll have another Rural Focus podcast for you again very soon, right here on the Listener app.